Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You look great. What have you been doing?
I found Zelthy. If you qualify, their providers can prescribe the same active ingredients in Ozempic and other expensive GLP-1s for 80 to 90% less without insurance. All on mine, shipped right to your door.
Get started with Zelthy today for just $39. Call #250 and say keyword care. That's care to #250.
Welcome to We Empower, the radio show that inspires you to embrace your potential, resilience, and strength. In these challenging times, we're here to help you unlock your power to overcome obstacles, pursue your dreams, and shape a brighter future. I'm Anna Bertanes, your host for this empowering hour. Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode of We Empower. I'm thrilled to have you all with us today, so sit back and get ready to be inspired. Let's make today count. In today's episode, we will have a great guest here to introduce. It's Michael Gross, Professor Dr. Michael Gross, well known to many because he is one of the fastest swimmer of the world. And afterwards, we will have an inspiring person, Solal Habibi. But first, let's kick things off with a song selected by Michael. Welcome here to this show. I'm happy to have it today from O2 Tower here in Munich at Vira, at the highest place of Munich. And I'm happy to welcome here the albatross, the former albatross gliding through water faster than anyone on earth. Michael Gross, 3 Olympic golds, 5 world titles, a swimming legend who redefined the sport, but his greatest victories came after leaving the pool. Professor, author, mentor, a man who traded medals for wisdom, proving true success isn't just about speed, but direction. What does a champion carry from the starting blocks to life's marathon? Michael Gross dives deep. So welcome here in the show, Michael. I'm very happy to have you.
Yeah, hello, Annabelle. Thank you very much for your invitation.
So we have a lot of topics to cover, and I have many questions. I think when I showed you the questions, you might have thought that we have 2 or 3 hours to discuss, and I wish we have. But we start today with a little tiny little bit of that, and I'm very much looking forward to having you here and asking your questions, not only about your former career, but also your current life, which is also a kind of second career. First of all, I was very touched when I heard the song you selected. And this song always makes me goosebumps, not just because of the song, the melody, but also because of the text. Because with this line, we are one, but we are not the same. We get to carry each other. It is really that what is it all about, isn't it? I mean, I have here a poster behind me which says, make peace more profitable than war. And we on Earth, we sometimes forget that we are all one, and that we are diverse. Each of us is various from the other one. But we try to put all these into shelves. We try to judge. We try to evaluate all the time. What is the reason that you have sorted out this great song?
Actually, the reason was that I'm a fan of U2 starting in the early 80s, so really, really early. And then one means, because this was a situation, the history of this song is a situation that U2, the band, was supposed to split up in this situation. So actually, it's usually played with weddings, for example, but the situation was really a tough and rough situation for the band. And this was kind of remembering the members of the band, what's all about, you know. Actually, we are not the same, you know, we have different interests and different approaches, but we are one, you know, we are working on the same direction. And actually, this means, you know, coming from this band to all of us. And therefore, this message is really important, I think, for everyone in every situation to be remembered, because we cannot get away from this planet.
Yes, and I like that what you say, because there are always people who try to unify us or say we are one in the idea of that they are the head of this. But one is about difference. One is about how to deal with this difference. And I think it's a song which is asking the hard questions, because it is also about Bono has pointed out in an interview that it's not that we have to carry each other, it is we get to carry each other. So it is a shift, the turns of helping someone from an obligation into a privilege, a graceful act of love and humanity. And I think this is what we should have always in mind, that it's all not something we have to, it is something a must to, but we can be grateful to have the chance to do, and unity despite difference. And this is something which is so hard to put into the head of people which are patriarchal, which want to have the people are looking in one direction and would like to direct into families, into the education, into every single element, instead of understanding that innovation is a key and innovation needs difference, right?
Yes, and actually, many studies showed that our relationships, the human relationships, are the fundament for happiness, for sustainable and long-term happiness. And our relationships, there are some conflicts sometimes, but at the end of the day, to have good relationships to each other are the fundament for individual happiness. And this is really important for me, actually, because the most worst thing happening right now in university nowadays, or former times in swimming, is really to have bad relationships. Because at the end of the day, imagine you're just by your own and
Yeah.
running around and trying to do everything by your own. This is really exhausting.
Yeah, exactly. I'm completely with you. And I mean, coming from sports where you have to be in your element, and where everything, where you are getting water, or where you're getting the rhythm of the water, I think this is even something special with this experiences you made. Your nickname, Albatross, came from your 2 meter wingspan. Did you ever feel a guard before it became your advantage?
Actually, no, because I cannot change it. It's given by birth. It's given by birth, and I'm really concentrating everything I can change and I can influence in my life, and don't worry too much about things which I cannot influence and which are happening around me. Obviously, I'm not interested in. At the end of the day, everyone starts or should start with what we can do by ourselves. And there are many things, so I never thought about, okay, bad luck. No. It's, given by birth. My parents were really, high. Let's see, my mom was 1 meter 80, so 6 feet.
Oh,
So
wow.
no surprise that I'm then 2 meter or 6'7" in feet terms.
How is it for a 14-year-old Michael that school gets a different life gets in a different way. Your friends might be you might be not able to meet your friends on a regular basis. How was it when you knew that life will change extremely?
So it's a free decision, actually. Swimming, it was a hobby, although in young years, and this is always the case in sports, that you're in young years, starting with 10, 12 years, and then with 14, 16, 18, you have a week with 70 or 80 hours of work. That means school, studies, training. And therefore, it's really a tough schedule. And it's really that, for example, you have to do sometimes your preparation for school in the car, driving to the train, the workouts for swimming. So it's really tough schedule. Sometimes eating your dinner in the car. You have to save time, because actually I have to drive a single way almost half an hour from my hometown to the training place where I was working out. So it's really then you have 1 hour, you have to do something and not just looking out of the window. So, but you get used to it, to say it like this. And actually, it was a free decision. It was my hobby. It was not my, let's say, my profession.
And is it a habit which stayed? Because I mean, what you described means a lot of discipline, a lot of engagement, a lot of feeling of purpose. You're doing something with a passion. Is this what stayed and made also the other directions possible, just as professorship, just as writing books?
Actually, yes, to be honest, yeah, to venture, to try new things, and to, let's say, to stick what you're doing. That means not to give up because there's an obstacle around the corner. So saying, you know, any obstacle and any diversion you have to take in your life gives you new perspectives. And sometimes, I think in all our lives, the diversions make you happier. Or, you know, it's really exhausting when you have a big obstacle and say, okay, what's going on here? For example, in sports, it's concerning when you have health problems, for example, and have to change your training schedule, or even you have problems to qualify for any international championships. That was the case twice in my life. So, and then it's really, you know, in the spontaneous moment, it's really exhausting and frustrating as well. But then you get new ideas, you have to change something, which helps you maybe on the long term, you know,
Yeah.
which you won't experience if you have a straight line in your life.
And how did your parents play a role in this in the past? I mean, you said already from the size, so they gave you and with the gene something, which might help you a bit. But how did you behave? I mean, I know there are parents which are very supportive. There are parents who say, "Don't go this way because it keeps away your childhood." How did they behave when they felt, "Okay, Michael, he means it seriously, so he wants to go into this direction." He will make his way.
They were really supportive. For example, getting me, you know, to the training, because with 14 years you cannot drive by yourself, and public services were not in place at these days. So this was the supportive stuff. But and they have one condition. They said, okay, school and your studies and everything which you prepares for your long-term life until nowadays, this is number one. This is the top priority. And swimming, and really swimming for 30 hours, usually 30 hours training per week. This is your hobby, you know, this is your free time, and you can decide. And this was gives me some safety environment. They said, okay, you can decide every single day to stop your hobby. You know, we are not pushing you to the limit. We are not pushing you that you're winning any gold medal. We are supporting you as much as possible, as usually all parents do with their children, some way. So, and then they said, okay, Michael, if you want to stop this for some reason, don't be angry, don't complain. We are absolutely supportive because it's your free time.
Wow. That's great that they behaved like this and didn't take over as managers or guiding your way, right? Because I think they made with this the right decision. A lot of parents don't do as taking it as their own or guide or just managing the guiding principles. That sounds good. How was it when you won first? Can you remember this feeling?
Actually, you know, it's really a process.
Yeah.
I always ask, you know, winning a gold medal at the Olympics must be the absolutely maximum you can achieve. That's true in, for example, in swimming. But there's a long way going in front. So actually, you have to see in my Kinderzimmer, you say in German, so my room in the apartment of my parents, all the medals. Usually in swimming, you get medals. All the medals were in chronological order. That means you have the, let's say, local state championship medal here from the county of Hessen, where I'm living, still living. The medals from this championship were hanging with the Olympic gold medal, because it's a, you know, everything, every single event and every single race was part of the overall story. You're not born to be Olympic champion. You know, it's a long way. In my case, it was a way from 8 years training, serious training day by day, to be then the top of the world. You know, and there were many, many disappointments and many, many things which happening, which makes you stronger at the end of the day, but are also really sometimes frustrating and hard to handle.
And was it clear for the small Michael that that a goal is getting the world championship, or was it more a goal to be the best swimmer, or was it just a goal to just swim because of want to swimming?
The first step was really just having fun, you know, with the other ones. And it was really here having fun, going to competitions, let's say 100 kilometers around Frankfurt, where I'm still living. So this was the case. And then there was improvement every single year. When you're young, you're really improving fast. That means at the end of the day, after 2 years, I was attending the German championships. And then after 3 or 4 years, I was a member of the German national squad, junior squad. And then, you know, it's then was the qualification for Olympic Games. And it's really, you're not getting into the water and starting with, for example, in my case, with 8 years old boy to be Olympic champion with 20 years, because there are so many things which can happen. So you start and single, have single steps. And then the final step was then the season. In swimming, you have 2 seasons usually per year. And then starting getting into 84, in my case, this was really then, hey, right now it's the time to go to the Olympics and trying to get a medal at least, or being maybe a number one, because I was a world record holder already. So this was then obviously the objective.
Great. I like that. I have plenty of further questions, so stay tuned. We have a 2 minutes break, and then we see each other afterwards and continue with Michael and some further very interesting topics.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Message and data rates may apply. Or consult a doctor prior to use.
Wow, you look amazing. What have you been doing?
I'm sure you've heard of Ozempic, Wegovy, and the other GLP-1 medications, right? Well, I found this great company called Zelthy. If you qualify, their providers can prescribe medications like Ozempic and Wegovy and other GLP-1 medications that are 80 to 90% less expensive, all 100% online.
I can get GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% less and do it all online? No doctor's office or pharmacy?
Yes, Zelthy can provide semaglutide or tirzepatide, the active ingredients in Ozempic and other expensive GLP-1s. But for 80 to 90% less and ship directly to your door.
How do I get started with Zelthy?
Call #250 with the word care to get started today with Zelthy. Get the same active ingredients in Wegovy or Ozempic, but for 80 to 90% less and 100% online. Don't wait. Call #250 with the word care right now for a link to your exclusive offer. Call #250 with the word care. That's #250 with the word care. #250 and care.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
From Olympic gold to life's deeper waters, Professor Dr. Michael Gross, swim legend, academic, and author, shares how champions think. Dive into his story. So, Michael, we had already some discussion on your swimming career, and I would like to step now into the lessons you got from the pool, or you learned from the cool pool. So, is there any discipline from training you still schedule daily, or you still do daily? Maybe also swimming itself?
Actually, it's really, you know, not to plan too much forward. In, for example, in sports, any day you have maybe an injury or something like this. Nowadays, in the digital age, and right now we have artificial intelligence coming around, many, many jobs are affected by all these technical developments, and our society is affected as well, as we know. So to keep flexible, to have an idea and objective, obviously, for, let's say, the year or maybe for the next 1 or 2 years, but to be flexible on the road, you know, to grab some, let's say, opportunities which are right now coming up, for example, surprisingly, which can happen every single day. So it's not really, to be honest, when I'm looking back on my life and my career, there are so many, let's say, positive incidents, which I cannot plan, but makes me running, makes me giving new ideas. For example, right now in my university, I have a professorate in Goethe University in Frankfurt concerning organizational leadership. And the contact with the students and the feedback from the students give me new ideas, because they are around 22 to 25 in the master's studies, and they have an absolutely different approach to the same questions. And this gives me, as a 61-year-old, meanwhile, really, really much inspiration and doing new things, developing new services, for example, for my clients in the company. So it's really, really like this.
That sounds interesting. And I mean, in the end, you talk about your students, you stand in front of your students, team versus solo sports, you succeeded all alone. What role has teamwork played? And what role does teamwork play now in your life? Because I know, for example, you've written a book together with your wife.
Mm-hmm. The worst time in my swimming career was when I have to train by my own. You know, swimming back and forth, for example, after the German championships and the qualification for international championships. It could happen that I'm the only one from my club to have the qualification. Then 2 or 3 weeks swimming on my own, 3 or 4 hours a day, the worst time ever. Obviously, you will say, hey, while swimming, you cannot talk. You know, you're by yourself before the workout. During the workout, for some seconds, you can check up, you know, how it feels, you know, what you're doing. So it's really, really important for me, especially because I'm used to have an individual sport, to have a team. With my wife, for example, we are working together for about right now 20 years in business. And therefore, it's really an inspiration. I couldn't imagine in my whole life to be just trying to find solutions on my own. You have to do many things on your own, actually. There's no way out. The relationship and the inspiration from other people makes the difference, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, swimming alone doesn't mean being alone in the end. No, you had always a team behind you, which were guiding you in that what they could do best by supporting you in the way, just as I think physiotherapists, mental health trainers or something like this.
Actually, I give you one example. Swimmers, we have the relays, you know, mm-hmm. We have 3 relays usually, and then the swimmers, and not just me, are much faster, and there were so already some scientific studies in place where this happens, much faster in the relays than individual events. The fastest times in my life, faster than the world record, but in the relay it doesn't count, I swam during the relays.
Uh-huh.
So it's really, really, because there you can give back something. There you can really then appreciate the effort the team members gave you before in many, many days. So, and therefore, and the scientific study interviewed the people, you know, and there's the only reason is, you know, that's the only way to give back something to your team members in this relays. So, and therefore, you don't need a mental coach for this, because this shows, again, relationships and the inspiration in a team are the most important thing, which you don't think in detail about this, you know, it just happens.
Nice. And do you have a kind of mentor which guided you through your whole life?
Many mentors, obviously. In young times, obviously, it's teachers were some importance, yeah, mm-hmm. because I was in a special school. I don't know how to explain in English, but there's a humanistisches Gymnasium. That means you start with Latin as a first foreign language.
Yes. Same here.
Pardon?
Same here.
Yes, same you. So it's a little weird. It sounds a little weird. And unfortunately, this gymnasium, so high school, change this course. Right now, we're going to start with English. They're studying primary school in Germany right now in English as well. So, and therefore, with Latin, and this teacher was really, really inspirational, although this dead language doesn't mean anything, but it was really a life coach and gives inspiration, motivates ourselves to be an individual, yeah, looking to each other. So it was really, really inspirational. Then obviously the coaches in sports, all my coaches were not professional coaches. They were also teachers. So they were independent from my success. This was quite nice. Then even, you know, students, as I said before, you know, it's for me, the professorate is really to keep in touch with the current developments and to have inspiration, to get feedback. Recently, I got feedback because the semester is right now at the end. I got feedback evaluation from my students where I can improve. And this is really, really inspirational for me, you know, and not just sticking to what you have, because you will lose what you have in the future if you just grab it and try to save it somehow, you know.
I like your style because it fits also very much into that what we, I think today, what we need, adaptability and being agile and dealing with the unknown, because we can't calculate everything, and having the habit then to just turn and expecting the bad one and bad thing is not helping us. You published a book which has the title Winning is Something Everybody Could, Everybody Can, and it is about asking every day the right questions. How is succeeding related to asking questions?
Yeah, give you examples. For example, what are my objectives? Where I'm heading to? What is really inspirational for me? All these questions, you know, it's really self-assessment you can do, are important. And there's no special routine I'm doing. Let's say, for example, at every January the 1st, I'm asking these questions. It's really a continuous process. How I'm dealing with this disappointment, for example. And obviously, everyone should have someone around. In my case, obviously, my wife. Right now, I have two kids, which are really grown up. So you can talk to your kids as well about some topics. So it's really important then to raise the question by yourself. And then if you want to verify or to, let's say, challenge your answers with others, and therefore to ask the right question. And every day means not every single day, you know, then you're getting absolutely, let's say, crazy about this. But let's say, for example, sometimes, to give you one idea, sometimes during holidays, you know, when you're on vacation and then you're doing a hike, for example, and then looking around, and then comes a question into your mind, you know, this could happen, you know, and then I'm writing down, you know, it's, for me, it's important to write it down by hand, not doing something oral with your mobile or whatsoever. So it's really writing it down. And checking it up, because what you're writing creates a picture and you remember this kind of picture.
That's very important what you say, because we often think that writing digital is also the same as writing just with a pen.
It's not. It's a huge difference.
Yeah. Exactly. And
after remember the remarks. In German, you say Spickzettel. I don't know the English name for this. So when you do that little tiny piece of papers, trying to hide away for any exam in school or in university, you know, and I don't know the English name, but you write it down on these little tiny papers as a reminder, and you remind this, you don't need these papers anymore because you have wrote it down by your own hand, which really gives you the deep dive in your brain, this information.
Sounds familiar to me. I did it also like this, or created infographics and the way of putting really complicated things in a structured way together, which helped me later on also doing this in many fields.
I give you an idea. Right now, recently, my students asked me how to prepare for the exam. And I said, you know, you can use artificial intelligence to do a summary, for example, on our lectures and exercises. You can do this easily, but it won't help you. You have to do it by yourself because in the exam you're on by own. You're on your own. You know, there are no mobiles, there's nothing else, there's only the pen and you. And my advice would be, of course, you can use artificial intelligence for many, many good reasons, and there are some many, many advantages for preparing yourself for the exam and really understand something. You don't, you know, it's not about knowledge, it's about understanding. You need to do it by yourself, you know.
I like your point very much. And I think also, I mean, I can imagine you invited me to one course and I couldn't make it, unfortunately. So we have to look for the future that I visit you once, if you like. You said that you of course teach leadership. And this is, I think, for me, one of the highest disciplines in at the university, because it's not just about teaching others or leading others, it's also about self-leadership. Is there anything also what you involve from swimming? Is there anything also what you involve from your other areas, maybe also from your idea about relationships, what you give as a lecture to your students? Because I like what you said, how you teach them, how they should learn, because this is something a lot of lecturers, a lot of professors forget. They just let them alone and are surprised if they don't get good results because they thought that they just use AI, right?
Yes, but I'm doing it really interactively, the whole lectures, and therefore they're used to it. And actually, my sports and swimming doesn't mean anything to my students because they have no clue and no idea about my history. Sometimes, which is really funny, sometimes they're asking their parents or talking about what they're doing in their classes, and then they say, "Hey, we have a professor. He's a honorary professor, means he's voluntarily, and that means." Hey, this is Michael Gross. And then the parents said, which Michael Gross? Is this Michael Gross? Because there are many Michael Gross in Germany. It's a common name in Germany. So yes, this one. And then they say, okay, and then sometimes students come back and say, hey, I didn't know that you're Olympic champion. I said, you know, I'm not running around with a gold medal around my neck, you know. So no, I won't do this. Never done this after my swimming career. There are links to obviously, from professional sports to leadership, like flexibility. That's general approaches, to be honest. Like flexibility in these times, for example, dealing with AI, how you make decisions in the context of AI is important questions for leaders. And this is really that you not sticking to the past and to your behaviors and routines of the past, that you really have a big openness about the future, what's coming up there, without having an idea and a safe answer about what's happening in the future in this context. And this is really, for example, you can learn from athletes because you never know what's happening even during a competition in this 2 minutes time, for example, in swimming or during a tennis match, you know, on court. You have your skills and your knowledge, and then you have the adaptability to use it in a specific situation. This is actually the definition of performance, as you know. You know, what is a good performer? This is someone who have a specific capability, which is then being used in a specific situation, which makes you running. But you don't need competence or capability, which you don't use. Then you are not a good performer. And this you're going to learn in sports. To have a good performance.
That's of course really truth words. And if you if we talk about leadership and go into self-leadership, what makes your own or what is part of your own self-leadership if we come to routines just at food or moving or also maybe getting your mind clean again from toxic things or people?
To have breaks. You know, the time where your brain can be on its own. Give you one example, which everyone knows. You know, there's a remote control of our life known as mobile. And when you are waiting in a train station, waiting in the airport, everyone is doing something with a mobile and not talking to each other. And I'm using these waiting times, especially the surprising waiting times. 5 or 10 minutes to look around, And the brain needs these breaks, because if you don't think about something, you get the idea. Everyone knows, you know, when you don't think about a problem, just get out of the situation. It's really, really important to get out of the situation,
mm-hmm.
to leave your brain alone. You do something else. For example, for me, sports and my routines, I'm doing 2 or 3 times, sometimes 4 times a week, sports for 1 or 2 hours.
Also still swimming?
No, more mountain biking, fitness studio, mm-hmm. you know, these kind of stuff, swimming more or less during the holidays. So, mm-hmm. but these times, you know, I'm not thinking. For example, I'm not using any digital devices during my sports, because I just want to do my thing. And my brain, for example, the most important, or not the most important ideas, are many, many ideas about my, let's say, presentations, or for new services, or for something I could do in lectures. I get when I'm not thinking about, you know, because you have the knowledge somewhere mm-hmm. in your brain, you have the inspirations which you received sometimes, and then this is being combined
mm-hmm.
Automatically without thinking about. You know, this is a there's a third mode of our brain, actually, which is really, really important. And nowadays, which all the digital devices, we should be careful about our breaks and our, let's say, where you can really breathe and be on your own and self. And sports gives me nowadays this opportunity.
That sounds good. So thank you very much, Michael, for this engaging discussion and inspiring insights you gave us. And I really look forward to our ongoing exchange and the impact we will continue to make together the world a better place. And I would love to meet you also in Frankfurt, maybe at the Goethe University.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
So thank you very much for everything you opened to us and shared with us.
Thank you very much. It was really inspiring for me too, to be honest. Yeah, really, really good.
Thank you. And after the commercial break, we will continue with the introduction of Solal Habibi. So please stay tuned. In 2 minutes, we move on. Thank you very much.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Message and data rates may apply. Or consult a doctor prior to use.
Wow, you look amazing. What have you been doing?
I'm sure you've heard of Ozempic, Wegovy, and the other GLP-1 medications, right? Well, I found this great company called Zelthy. If you qualify, their providers can prescribe medications like Ozempic and Wegovy and other GLP-1 medications that are 80 to 90% less expensive, all 100% online.
I can get GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% less and do it all online? No doctor's office or pharmacy?
Yes, Zelthy can provide semaglutide or tirzepatide, the active ingredients in Ozempic and other expensive GLP-1s. But for 80 to 90% less and ship directly to your door.
How do I get started with Zelthy?
Call #250 with the word care to get started today with Zelthy. Get the same active ingredients in Wegovy or Ozempic, but for 80 to 90% less and 100% online. Don't wait. Call #250 with the word care right now for a link to your exclusive offer. Call #250 with the word care. That's #250 with the word care. #250 and care.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
At 7, she lost her father, but not her hope. Solal Habibi has fought against the Iranian regime for 26 years now. Her weapon? Unbroken courage. Here, her story. Welcome here in the show, Solal.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you, Annabelle.
Thank you. I would like to introduce with a few words, and I know that every word I can share here is too little for that. We have the July 1988, in the summer that should have been filled with childhood laughter. But for the seven-year-old Solala, it became the moment her world shattered. Her father executed, along with 30,000 others, a little girl, standing in the ruins of a stolen future, made a vow, "I will not cry, I will resist." For decades, she kept that promise, through loss, through exile, under the weight of a revolution on her shoulders. Yet this is not merely a story of suffering. This is not a story of her being a victim. It is a story of fire, of a woman who forged grief into strength, who fights not only for her father, but for every silenced voice in Iran, and for a world which is worth living in. This is Solal Habibi. So thank you for being here in this show, Solal. I already said welcome, another welcome, please, after describing you. And I would like to step into that, what you are doing for all of us. You say resistance is not just defiance, it is love and action. Love for those we lost and for those still fighting. You were seven when your father was executed. How do you remember him?
First of all, let me thank you for that beautiful introduction, actually. But, I remember my father very well because my father was a writer who was at home a lot with us. So I cherish all those memories that I had with him. But he was very kind, gentle. He was very caring. And he tried to explain everything to us, to raise awareness, for us to be aware of the world that we live in, what is happening around the world, and to understand that the world and our goal and mission in life is far greater than just ourselves, and to be able to understand that. So that's one of the things that I really do remember about him. And then another thing that I remember is his passion towards Iran and to be able to see a free Iran. That was the one thing that he always, you know, looked, he had a lot of ambition for that, but he always tried to instill that love and that passion in us too, even though we've unfortunately never been to Iran or seen Iran.
The small Solal, 7 years old, gave a promise to herself and said, "I won't cry." Maybe it was also a kind of, "I won't be a victim, I will be a mover, a change maker." But were there moments when you did cry?
Of course. The story is that when I found out that my father had been killed, I think I cried for like 3-4 hours. And then, because my little brother was coming home and he was only three, I had to shield him from that, and to make sure that he doesn't go through that. I remember talking to myself, like trying to, you know, overcome, you know, the pain and everything. And I told myself, you know, what is, you know, crying is never going to resolve any problems. And we had a story. This is the background. There was a story that we always listened to, and it was a story of the story of Iran, but it was called The City Without Smiles. And there was a tyrant who didn't have a smile, so he took away other people's smiles, but he didn't know that the smile is not going to match your lips. Each person's smile is their own. And so that was the story. And so I, in my mentality at the time, was like, you know, it's the same story. So me crying is not going to resolve anything, but it'll make that tyrant happy to see that I'm sad. So this is my way of resisting. And so that became something that I clinged on to. And the reality is that we had a lot of ups and downs. I mean, my father was killed when I was seven, but then because of the first Gulf War, the Persian Gulf War, I was separated from my mom. And then we moved back to the US and I was raised by my aunt. So that whole process, there was a lot of ups and downs, but that always kept me going, you know, that I have the strength to overcome whatever obstacles, and we have we have that strength to overcome. And I think that played an important role. But yes, there are a lot of times that I did cry too, but I think it was the first time was about 9 years after, but yeah, that was a part of my life.
And so, Laia, I mean, you decided very early that you want to put your life into the duty of doing something for the better, moving things for the better, of being a part of the hope of a free Iran. Did you have a private ritual to stay strong?
I think, first of all, I think what's important is I knew that I wasn't alone. And there were so many others who had suffered from this regime. It's not only just 30,000 who were killed in the summer of 1988, it's 120,000 people who have been executed by this regime. And knowing their stories, you know, some of my own friends, I knew that they had it far worse than I did. And that gave me, you know, I didn't feel like I was the victim here. Also, I think the fact that there were so many events in that they would commemorate those who had been killed by the regime. And there's this one song of the resistance that it says, "I swear to those who have given their life that we will continue to the freedom of the people of Iran." And that was something that I always you know, sang to myself. And that always gave me strength. But I'd like to show you something, actually. This is actually a book.
Yeah.
People in the radio can't see it, but there's a book of, it's a name and information.
You should hold it in front of your face a bit, because otherwise it's blurring. It's blurring.
I could send you a picture later, but this book has the name and information of 20,000 people from the 120,000 people who've been killed by the regime. And when you look in this book, there are people from, you see children, 12, 13, 14 year olds who've been executed by this regime.
I can see. So like this, it's good. Wow. It shows pictures from all of these people.
Yeah, and the names. Yeah, and their names, their ages. And here, I mean, one of the things that I always saw was I knew that there were people who were like 13-year-old Fatema Mesba who was executed. For what? Because she was selling a newspaper in the streets. Or, you know, just entire families who had been wiped out. Like, for instance, the entire family, 6, 7 people have been killed. And so growing up knowing that, those realities, it just gave me strength that, you know, this is a time in our history that we are living under tyranny, but there are those who stood up. There are those who said no. There are those who never gave in. And that's what's important, to not give in to the status quo and say, well, unfortunately, this is the situation that we have, so we just have to live with it. No, there is another way. There's another path. And I think for me, having those role models in my life, having seen people like my parents, but also seeing so many others who I drew my inspiration from, that they never gave in. They gave up everything in their lives. They put aside, you know, they had, you know, great lives, their family, everything. They put it aside to be able to continue the fight. So one day, one generation will be able to see a free Iran, even if they don't see that day themselves. And I think that gave me a lot of inspiration and courage growing up. But as you said, I started pretty early. I think I was 12 the first time I went to the U.S. Congress. And I got my first signature from a member of Congress in regards to Iran. And it was during my spring break, actually. And I remember the representative was like, "How old are you?" I said, "I'm 12. I said, "Are you spending your spring break coming and informing us of the situation in Iran?" And I said, "Yes, because you don't know what's going on there. And the people of Iran deserve your support." And that became, you know, a part of growing up to understand. I think it's important to understand that even despite any hardships that we have, we still live a privileged life because we are in a democracy. We live in freedom. We have those basic rights that unfortunately a lot of people are denied. And I think that really puts everything in a different perspective. You understand the value of a lot of things that maybe you normally take for granted. And a lot of issues that may seem big to others, they just, you know, lose its importance to you, because you understand that there are greater matters in life.
I mean, for you, it must be, I think, a kind of heart coming from a country with such beautiful roots and culture. And so many great rituals you have in the past, and very high culture of freedom, of wisdom, of elegance, of aesthetics. What do you think it is, just what can drive a person to be to turn into a kind of devil or a kind of monster like this, to do such things?
I think it's power. Unfortunately, there are those who are willing to kill, suppress, do whatever to keep their power, and that's what tyranny is. That's what dictators are. And unfortunately, in Iran, the people of Iran have been fighting 120 years now for freedom. Unfortunately, we've had three major revolutions and they've succeeded, but it was very short-lived each time. Each time, you know, be it the Shah came into power, or his father, or Khomeini, and they only knew that they could only keep their power because they didn't. It wasn't a government for the people. It was to keep power. That was the main goal. And so that's why they turned to suppression. They turned to killing. They turned to, you know, this has been the story of Iran for, you know, 100 years now. These two dynasties, or the previous dynasty and the current regime, who just butchered the Iranian people to keep their grip on power. And that's why I think one of the most important things, the greatest crimes committed by this regime, is betraying people's trust. The people of Iran revolted for a reason. In 1979, they wanted to end to, you know, tyrannical rule, but unfortunately it was replaced by something worse, a theocracy. But what's important is to be able to differentiate the fact that we're not stuck just between, you know, choosing between two dictatorships. We have the choice to move forward and move past all of that, and to be able to form a secular democratic republic in Iran. And that's what we're fighting for, and that's what we day to day we try to fight for and to be able to make a reality.
I think your father must have known that he could become difficulties by behaving in the way that he was putting words in a way that it could motivate other people for a free Iran. Was there a special sentence he left you, which is maybe a sentence you have in your mind and it's maybe guiding you?
I started reading his books when I grew up, so it wasn't something that's connected for me. I have gained a lot of inspiration from those books, and I know there, as you said, there are a lot of people that I've met actually who've told me that their inspiration to become activist have been like books that my father had written, and that's interesting to hear. You know, after all these years that they're, you know, this year it's 37 years, end of this month from the time that my father was killed, but that memory and that those thoughts live on. But I think what I remember greatest, I think, is just that inspiration that he had. And he would tell us, you know, there's nothing more valuable than freedom, so cherish it and do everything in your power to make sure that everyone is able to live freely. And I think that's something that has always resonated with me.
Wow. So Lal, there is so much we could talk about, and we both know that we have too little time. But if there is one message you would give to the world, to our listeners here, what they can do to support free Iran as a free, a part of a free world, of a world where peace matters first, what would this be? And is there any concrete things people could do to support you and your work?
I think right now, because of the current situation in Iran, I just would like to explain this for like 1 minute, really shortly. As we know, the world saw just a few weeks ago the crisis in Iran. But I think it's important to understand that there is a solution for this crisis. It's not war or appeasement. Unfortunately, democracy is not going to flourish from that. The solution is supporting the Iranian people and the Iranian resistance to be able to make that democracy possible. Unfortunately, there is an organized resistance movement. There's the National Council of Resistance of Iran, which in next week will be 44 years since it was formed. It's a parliament in exile with over 500 members. Interestingly, over 52% are women. And the president-elect of this movement is Maryam Rajavi. She is a woman. And so just imagine, in face with this misogynist regime ruling Iran, there's a woman leading the way. And so she's my inspiration in life, and many others. But I think what's important is to realize that the Iranian people do have the capability and the capacity to bring about change. They want to put an end to all forms of tyranny in Iran. But what's important is to support them, to stand by them. So I would like to ask your viewers, those people who are listening to us today, to voice your support for the National Council of Resistance of Iran, stand by the Iranian people, and ask, reach out to your lawmakers, ask them to, support the Iranian people in their fight. We're not asking for, the Iranian people are not asking for, troops on the ground or financial support. They're just asking for an end to the policy of appeasement.
Thank you so much, Zolal. It was really touching. And that wraps up our episode of We Empower, the weekly radio show dedicated to celebrating the strength, the resilience, and limitless potential of everybody around the globe. So join us again next week as we continue on this empowering journey. And thank you for being part of our community.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You look great. What have you been doing?
I found Zelthy. If you qualify, their providers can prescribe the same active ingredients in Ozempic and other expensive GLP-1s for 80 to 90% less without insurance. All on mine, shipped right to your door.
Get started with Zelthy today for just $39. Call #250 and say keyword care. That's care to #250.
Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You look great. What have you been doing?
I found Zelthy. If you qualify, their providers can prescribe the same active ingredients in Ozempic and other expensive GLP-1s for 80 to 90% less without insurance. All on mine, shipped right to your door.
Get started with Zelthy today for just $39. Call #250 and say keyword care. That's care to #250.